this is how we're going to begin to ignore this behavior. Let's go back for a moment to our definition of insanity. Recall what that was? Doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And that's what we've been doing on our page 4, is it not? We have negative words, the way we say those words are negative, and the behaviors that we reward all this with are all negative. What we have to do now is apply the principles or the information I just shared with you on the phobia reversal to the negative feelings on page 4 that we're working on. The first thing that we're going to have to do, like that spider phobia, we're going to have to work on, yes, confronting it. So we now have to confront a situation. Remember that once you identify the limited belief, you then must identify the behavior, the words, the body language. Once that's all done, we go ahead and convert everything to positive. We've completed that already on your page 2. Here's where we go now to the next level. We now have to set up a scenario or an exercise. So here it is. We're trying to believe that we can say no to others. We're going to confront this new belief with a new behavior. So we have to pick a behavior. We have to pick a situation. We're going to find that from your page 2, Empowering Beliefs. What are we going to do? Well, go to what will I need to do to reward this behavior? You have 3 to 5 or maybe more specific situations that you would do to reward this positive behavior. We're going to pick one of them to give you an example or a scenario. We're going to pick the second one, return the phone call. Now, normally, if you believed you can't say no to others and you know somebody left a message to you and you know beyond a doubt because of your track record with them or whatever, that they're going to ask you to do something that you don't want to do. For some reason or whatever reason you feel uncomfortable with it, you just don't want to do it. If that's the case with you, you are not able to just run to that telephone, pick it right up, dial it quickly, and return the phone call. You're going to do the opposite of that if you even try to return the phone call. So here's what we must do to set up the situation. We must start off with, first, the right words. And that's what? I can say no to others. I can say no to this person. Now, if you're truly plagued with this challenge, you're not going to be able to say no. You know you're still going to have a hard time. Just saying I can say no to others is not going to make you run and pick up that phone. But it is a start. Now, we're going to imagine for a moment that I'm actually with you in your home or wherever you're at, and I'm assisting you with this particular challenge. And by the way, if you decided to use a coach to help you out with these feelings of inadequacy that you're working on, which I strongly recommend you do, I'm actually doing the role now of that coach. This is what your coach would do. So I'd say to you, okay, we're going to start this scenario now from beginning to end. I want you to act for me as if you're actually going to make this phone call. I want you to walk up to the phone. Before you get to the phone, I want you to say, yes, I'm going to be able to say no to so-and-so. I'm going to say no to them. I want you to pick up the phone or pretend to. I want you to pretend to dial the phone number. And I want you to pretend to actually give me the conversation and share with me how you would tell that person no. So I say to you, okay, begin. Go ahead and do that. So you say, I can say no to them. Now, the way you said that, was that negative or positive? That was negative. So we have to change that, because if it's negative, are we doing anything different to get a different result? No, we're still on page 4 and we don't want to live on page 4. So we try that again. I'm going to say no to them. And then you walk over to the phone. Now, as you walk over to the phone, you kind of look like you've got your tail between your legs. Negative or positive? That would be what? That would be negative. So we'd have to change that. Now, maybe you're walking over to the phone very, very slow with a lot of hesitation. Negative or positive? That again would be negative. That's a negative behavior. As simple as it sounds, this is how you reward your behavior in a negative way. We have to change that, even though you feel that you are lying or very uncomfortable doing it. We have to do something what? Different, if we want different results. Then I watch you pick up the phone or pretend to pick up the phone. Did you do it very slow or did you do it normally? If you did it normally, that's good. If you did it very slow, negative or positive? That too would be negative. I watch you dial the phone number or pretend to dial the phone number. 7-2. And it's a number that you've known for years. If you're dialing it slow, negative or positive? Because if you normally dial your friend's numbers fast or the normal way, if you're doing it opposite of that or different from that, that would really be negative. Now, what about the conversation? Well, I really can't do that. Then you come up with a real lie. The kids are sick. Now, that's a real lie. That's being deceitful. So what are we going to have to do? I obviously would look at this scenario and say, not too good. I don't think you're going to win on this one. So the next thing I'm going to share with you is another, here's another revelation for you. You want to write this one down. If you're taking notes, I strongly suggest you write this one down. If you're not taking notes, I strongly suggest you write this one down. I'm going to say it the first time quickly. The second time I'll say it slower so you can write it down. The nervous system cannot tell the difference between imagination. Let's write that down. The nervous system cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality. One more time. The nervous system cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality. This is a powerful tool that you must utilize. The nervous system cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality. Let me illustrate and explain that to you further. If I were to take a group of, say, 1,000 people, and I'm in front of those people, and I say to them, I'd like you to imagine for a moment that my fingernails are very dry and long, and I'm going to rub them across a dry chalkboard. Oh, do you feel something? 75 to 85% of the audience will shiver. They'll have their hairs stand up on the back of their necks. They'll feel goosebumps. Now, why would that be when there is no chalkboard in front of them and I'm not actually doing it? Why would they even respond? Why? Because the nervous system cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality. When I explained to them this little story, this scenario, they actually painted a picture in their mind, and because their nervous system cannot tell the difference between imagination, this picture that I painted in front of them, and reality, they still responded. How can we use that in the real world? You want to train your nervous system to help assist you in your success. Again, let's go back to the phobia reversal. If I'm taking a person who is phobic, and remember, we're not talking about phobias in this program, we're talking about behaviors, but I'm still having to reverse a person who has a phobia, and it's simply a limited behavior. So I tell that person that I'm going to give you a goal. You have to do one or the other. You're going to have to hold this tarantula. Would you rather hold a real one or an imaginative one? What would you say? Everybody says they'd rather hold the imaginative one. What would be the difference? Psychologically, the imaginative tarantula is less painful. Ah, so why put that person through the real thing by saying, okay, put your hand out, here's a tarantula. They would go berserk. So on the other hand, why put you through the real thing by saying, okay, you're just going to go say no to others. Go ahead and pick up the telephone and do it. Ah, psychologically, if you really have this challenge, it's too painful for you. So we're going to use this tool that the nervous system cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality to make things a lot easier for you. Here's how we do that. Technically, we have already started this. When I had you do the little scenario where you pretended to go to the phone and make the phone call, you were actually training your nervous system. But we didn't do too well in that little exercise. I had you have your tail between the legs. Was that a negative or positive? Remember, that was negative. So that's a negative way in which we program our nervous system. Now, you've been doing that for many years without even realizing it on your page 4. You know someone who wants to ask you to do something for them, and you just don't want to say no, but you just do it anyway. And every time you think about it, you get nervous, you feel uncomfortable, and you dig your grave deeper and deeper. You keep training that nervous system and dig it deeper and deeper. Similar to the person who is phobic of that spider. They're really scared of spiders. They're watching TV one day. They see a spider go across the screen. Oh, and they freak out and they cringe. Every time they do that, their nervous system reacts, and they dig their grave deeper and deeper and become more phobic and more phobic. The choice, though, is whose? It's yours. It's a choice where you can either do this or not do this. It is simply a choice, and that's what we're talking about here, giving ourselves the options to have choices. We've been doing this for so many years unconsciously without even thinking about it. It's time now that we stop and make our choice. So let's do it again now that we know the nervous system can't tell the difference between imagination and reality. So we start the same scenario again. I want you to go ahead and pretend to pick up the phone, dial the phone number, and tell me what you're going to say. So this time we want to train the nervous system really nice and strong. So you walk up to the phone confidently. Then you dial that phone number. You don't dial it very slow. Then if I see a little frustration on the face, I might come up to the cheeks and go silly little grin before you make that phone call. And I know that sounds silly and maybe a little awkward, But the bottom line is, we know the nervous system can't tell the difference between imagination and reality. So if I force you to smile, your nervous system takes that picture, if you will. It's better than going, oh, I can't do it. It's a choice. So by me coaching you and assisting you, I'm trying to give your brain something good to remember, some positive experiences, a little grin, a faster walk, something that normally you would not do. Then you go ahead and make the phone call. You make the decision to say, well, no, I can't do this. And the list goes on and on. This is how we train that nervous system. Real quickly, though, let's focus on how we would really say no to somebody. We wouldn't want to just say rudely, no, I'm not going to do this for you. And that's the way it is. There are times that I say no. In fact, I remember one particular situation just a few days ago. A gentleman asked me to do something that was relatively important, but I had to say no for a legitimate reason. But I said no to him, and when I said no to him, I kind of put my hand on his shoulders and I said, hey, I'm really sorry, I can't do that. I really would, but I can make it up to you some other way. Would that be okay? I wasn't just abrupt and say, no, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that for you. But I was still very kind about how I did it. But I also didn't have that wimpy little, no, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. Now, I still may say I'm sorry to him, but I'm not like the basket case sorry type of thing, all right? We don't want to do that. So this is how we would say no to others and do it in a respectful, kind way. The goal at this point is to get yourself where you're doing these practice sessions to perfection. So what does that mean? That means you've got to be the awesome liar. Well, maybe actor or actress might be a better choice of words. So you have to say those words right. You have to know the right words to say, and then you have to have that body language to match it. This is how you learn to play games with your mind instead of your mind playing games with you. This is how you prevent negative thoughts from renting space in your head. When you have this all done and you're doing real well, when would you be ready for the real thing? Well, here's the way I explain that. Let's go back to our spider phobia illustration. If I take a person again who's phobic of a spider, and I'm working with them with just their nervous system, just an imaginative spider, not even a fake spider, the imaginative spider, and I tell them I'm going to put an imaginative spider on their hand, and I'm going to have them touch it. Now, if they're incredibly phobic, they're going to have a very, very difficult time doing that. And if they can't even touch the imaginative spider, they will not be able to touch the what? The real thing. So this is a measuring rod for you. If you can't even train the nervous system where you're real strong and you're saying, I'm not going to feel guilty, I can do this. And if we can't do that strong with the nervous system, how in the world can we do it in reality? So what you have to do is you have to make sure that you can master this first in the fake world, in the imaginative world. And that is your measuring rod to let you know if you're ready for the next level. Let's assume that you try this and you keep the pretending going on and you try to train the nervous system. But at this point, the fear and the anxiety might really be setting in. So what now do you do? We're forgetting a very, very important tool that we haven't talked about in quite a while. It's perhaps the most important tool that you have to have that's going to be vital to your success. And it's your page one. Let's go back to your page one. That's page 7 in your workbook. Ah, we kind of forgot about that, didn't we? Why must I change this behavior? If I'm working with an individual and they're having a hard time even training that nervous system and they feel some of the fear and the anxiety because their challenge is so severe, what I have to do is I have to constantly be reminding them why they want to change this behavior. If their reasons are real and they are seriously committed about making change, I can automatically see it in their face. But if a person just wrote down a bunch of stuff they really don't want to change, mom was the one that wanted me to change, or my husband or my wife, and I asked them, why do you want to change this behavior? Well, I don't know. I'm, you know, kind of tired of losing my emotions and, you know, other people controlling me, and that's not going to do it. But if we get a person and we say to them, why do you want to change this behavior? And they look at their page one and they say, I am sick and tired of being controlled by this. Ah, that now gives them a little push. It gives them a little drive to go and break through that limitation, to go through those negative feelings. Does that make sense? Friends, if you're not serious about your page one, you're wasting your time. Everything beyond that is positive thinking. And positive thinking is like what? That's right, like spray paint on rust. It doesn't last long. Now let's go to the bottom of your page one. You see that little box there, that little illustration? What's going to happen is when you get into the real world, you're going to feel some of these negative feelings. So we're going to be right at that little line, right underneath that circle, those negative feelings. Recall earlier, I asked you a question, what's going to cause you to either go through those negative feelings and get to that little nice smiley face there, or cause you to make a 180 and go back to the beginning and go back to page 4 and stay there for the rest of your life? What was the answer? It's your page 1, your reasons why you must change this behavior. Now, granted, there are times, yes, that we're going to regress and things aren't going to go as well as we'd like them to go. But if we hit bottom and regress, this page 1 as to why I want to change this behavior is going to motivate and push you to get off your tush and try it again. And if you fall again, page 1 is going to motivate you again, get off your butt and try it again. If you're not serious about page 1, you're not going to be serious about making change. We're not done with our page 2, empowering belief. So let's turn the page over. That's page 8 in your workbook. And let's continue. We've been able to remind ourselves why we must change this behavior. Now what? Well, hopefully you've been able to get some motivation from your page 1. The drive and the desire are now back. What's next? I'm now going to attack you. Yes, I'm going to verbally attack you. Let me explain. We'll go back to the spider illustration. That person knows very, very well when reality sets in, when I'm going to bring the real spider, that they are going to freak out. What page is going to attack them? Not page 1, not page 2, but page 4, the limited beliefs. How do we know that? Because this person has been living on page 4 for years. It's similar to you. If you can't say no to others and you try to put yourself in the real situation where you're going to go now and say no to this person, what page is going to attack you? Page 4. You're going to hear, you're going to feel guilty. They're going to be mad at you. You're such a mean person, and that's going to attack you. So the next thing that we're going to do now, we're going to learn how to counteract that attack. And here's how we would do that. Let's imagine for a moment that you're on a football team and the opponent has the football. What advantage would it be for you if you could be invisible and be on their team right inside the huddle as they're making the play for their next move? And then after they finish their huddle, you jump back to your team, you tell everybody, and the play begins. What advantage would that be to you? You would win the game. You'd have no choice but to win the game. Well, this is what you're going to have to do to page 4. Page 4, these limited thoughts, these limited feelings, page 4 is your opponent. But you see, you're kind of invisible. We can go over to page 4 and we already know now what page 4 is going to do. We know page 4's game plan. We know when we try to say no to somebody, what's going to happen? Page 4 is going to attack us and it's going to say, you're going to feel guilty. They're going to be mad at you. Oh, you're such a mean person. So we have to now counteract that. Let's go ahead and do that. To do that, we start from the beginning. So we do the whole new scenario all over again. You want to make sure you look really strong. You're going to walk up to the telephone. You look real good. You're going to say, I can say no to this person. I'm not going to feel guilty when I do this. If they are upset with me, there's nothing I can do about it. I am not a mean person. You want to say all those positive thoughts that you have on your page 2 under the empowering beliefs and make sure you have the physiology, the way you say those words to reward that. If you're a coach or you're coaching somebody or somebody's coaching you, you must make sure that you never attack a person with the information on page 4 until they're ready. We know when they're ready, when they're saying all these things nice and strong, everything looks real good and they look believable. If they're not ready for it and you attack them and say, you're going to feel guilty. Now you could do more damage than good. So we assume now you're looking real good. Everything looks real strong. You get ready to pick up that phone call. You're pretending. Again, we're just doing this all with the nervous system. We haven't hit the real phone call yet. We're just practicing this. And you're looking real good. You're saying the right things. And as you're saying those things, I come back and I attack you and I say, you're going to feel guilty. I can't believe that you're going to say no to this person. You are so mean. This person has done so much for you. They're not going to like you and you're going to deserve it. And as I'm saying those things, don't let it affect you. You don't wait for me to finish. Come back and attack me as I'm saying them. You're going to say, oh, I'm not going to feel guilty. I'm tired of this controlling me. This is no problem. And if they're going to be mad at me, there's nothing I can do about it. I am not a mean person. Do you see how this works? Because you know when reality kicks in, the bottom line is here, page 4 is going to attack you. And if you can't handle page 4 in the fake world, doing it with the nervous system and pretending, and you can't counteract it, how in the world do you really expect to do it in reality? It's not going to happen. So have your coach do this. Or have yourself do this if you want. Start to pick up the phone and say, you're going to feel guilty. No, I'm not. And make sure you can counteract the negative with positive very quickly. So if they say to you, you're going to feel guilty, come back, step right on them and say, no, I'm not going to feel guilty. And make sure everything about you saying, I'm not going to feel guilty, shows that you're not going to feel guilty. Just counteract everything opposite of what they tell you and make sure you look strong when you do it. We are just about to finally wrap up with our very last important thought that you must have in order to be successful at this. We have thoroughly discussed the fact that we unfortunately have a tendency to take the course of least resistance. So when we try to make all this change, our course of least resistance is going to be which page, you think? If you said page 4, you're absolutely right. You're going to try to do everything that you're supposed to do on page 2, blend in some of page 1, and bam, you're right back on page 4, getting nowhere fast if you're not careful. So here is the next major point you must remember. Ready? Fill in the blank for this on page 2. That's page 8 in your workbook. That's the top half of the page under where you wrote, when my feelings are not in harmony with my goals, ignore my feelings. Okay, right underneath that. You ready? Feelings change last. L-A-S-T. Feelings change last. You cannot forget this. You absolutely cannot forget this. Here's how we would apply it. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that if you are stuck on page 4 and you're really eager to make change in your life and you start lying or faking the brain out, your feelings are still going to want to be on page 4. And listen closely to my next point. You just heard it. I want to repeat it and say it again. The human tendency is to take the course of what? Right. Least resistance. So when you try to change your behavior, what's the course of least resistance? Very good. Going back to page 4. Remember when I asked you to jump on my desk for no real reason and chair and say, wow, things are great? Your feelings told you what? This jumping on the desk stuff, that's kind of crazy and stupid. I don't feel the justification to do this. So you don't, or if you started, you'd quit. You wouldn't stay doing that long. You'd follow the feelings, boy, this stuff is crazy, and take the course of least resistance back to page 4 again. This exact scenario will help you when you try to change your limited beliefs. So to help control the urge, I repeat now, to help control the urge not to jump back on page 4, those limited beliefs and limited feelings, you must remember and acknowledge that your feelings change when? Feelings change last. Let's go deeper. Keep in mind, anytime you're trying to say something, your page 2, opposite of your normal negative feelings, that's on page 4, page 4 is your weakest link. And I guarantee you, when you confront that person and you kindly say no, those feelings will be there. Maybe the feeling of guilt and all the other feelings. The tendency may be to say, you know, this really isn't working. And you might reason that because all the negative feelings haven't changed right away. And they won't. Why? Because feelings change last. Don't be a slave to those limited feelings because they don't change right away, and you must remind yourself that they change last. They will change, but we just have to keep going forward and not give up. If feelings are the last to change, what's the first to change? It would be our words, wouldn't it? Yes, it would be our words. So we have to start somewhere. We start with changing words and end up by changing feelings. When your feelings catch up to your words, you have created a new belief. Sooner or later, with the right ingredients, you'll get used to your page 2. It's what I call the left side, right side belief. I travel quite extensively to the Caribbean, and when I take some of my friends down there who have never been there, one of the first things they have to talk about is when we land and get into a vehicle is, wow, they drive on the left side of the road. That is really weird. Now, let's say if I took that person, I left them there for about a year. Do you think every single day for a year, they would be talking about, oh, wow, we drive on the left side of the road here. That's really weird. Of course not. Sooner or later, they would get used to driving on the left side. Now, after a year, we bring them back to the United States where they drive on the opposite side or the right side. I'm not saying that is right. I'm saying it's the right side. Now, what's going to happen? They're going to feel a little unusual because for a year they've been driving on the left side and now they have to go back to the opposite of that. And even though they were in the United States for years and years and years before that, now they leave for a year, come back, and it's unusual for them to drive on the right side of the road. They stay in the United States for another year or two, and they sooner or later will get what? Get used to it. See, sooner or later you can get used to anything. You stay on the left side long enough, you'll get used to it. You stay on the right side long enough, you'll get used to it. You stay on page two long enough, positive words, positive thoughts, positive physiology, you will get used to it. It reminds me many times of some people who are homeless. You know, there are people who are homeless, and they wouldn't trade it for the world. But I will promise you, if you find an individual like that, and let's say they're in their 50s or 60s, and you were to interview them when they were 16 years, 17 years of age, and you said to them, when you get older, what do you want to do for a living? What is your future going to look like? You think they would say to you, you know what? Hey, when I hit 50, 60 years old, I am going to be homeless. Of course not. But you know, there are people now that had jobs, careers, etc. For whatever reason, for whatever circumstances, they have become homeless. And many of them now are so used to it, they enjoy that to a great measure because they have no responsibilities and so on. They got used to it. The left side or right side belief tells us we can get used to anything if we do it long enough. You can get used to page two if you do it long enough and recognize that your feelings change last, and don't be a slave to your feelings. Hang in there long enough so your feelings catch up with your words. We are finally at the last of our four pages, and that's page three, page nine in your workbook. New positive feelings and experiences. How about meeting me there? Page 9 in your workbook, new positive feelings and experiences. Remember the very first exercise that I gave you when we started this program together? It was to list past experiences that are negative or bad, which are or could be affecting or controlling your life now. Recall that? One of the reasons for listing this information was so that we could, number one, identify our past baggage or that junk or the negative things that we've had happen to us. And second, we went on to see how these events directly related to our present feelings, emotions, and behaviors. It also became obvious that when we went to write down our positive experiences, we seemed to take a much longer time writing them down, and there weren't as many. This, unfortunately, is what we've been doing most of our lives, but in the opposite manner and programming ourselves for the worse. It's time to change that. So here's how we do that. Follow along with me on your page three, new positive feelings and experiences. Let's read the sentence there. Make a list of goals that you would like to accomplish with your new behavior. Make a list of goals that you would like to accomplish with your new behavior. So beside each box, write down a goal that specifically relates to this challenge. Now, we've already gone over one already, haven't we? It was to make or return that phone call. If you have more, then write more down. If you have 1, 5, 10, or 20, whatever the number, write them down. The reason that I have you put a little box before each one of these goals is that it will simply tell you when you've completed it or not. Of course, obviously, once you've completed the goal, you would check it off. Remember how in school, when you used to get a big red check mark on your drawings or other homework, it made you feel good, didn't it? It actually gave you a feeling of self-worth and accomplishment. Accomplishment makes you feel good and does wonders for your self-esteem. Many people with low self-esteem often feel that there's a lack of accomplishment in their lives, which in turn can make one feel empty. As simple as it sounds, when you complete a goal, no matter how trivial it may be, when you check it off in your little box, it gives you a feeling of accomplishment. So don't forget to do that. If you don't have my program on goal setting, I would strongly recommend that you invest in it and invest in yourself. It's a step-by-step process which also discusses how to break through mental blocks as we're doing here so you can continue to be successful in setting your specific goals. A person without goals is like a ship without a rudder. Without a rudder, you have no direction. Without goals, you have no direction also. The key to this section is to build on positive experiences, similar as to how we built on negative experiences. Once we've made that phone call, accomplished that goal, we must write down the experience so we can read it off and build on that experience. Likewise, when something negative happened to you in your past, you wrote it down and you read it over and over again. No, you didn't write it down consciously or on a physical piece of paper. You wrote it down in your memory and you kept on recalling it over and over and over. A teacher tells you you're stupid. It makes an impression on your mind and your emotions, and you hear it over and over and over for years and years. You're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid. Being that we are now trying to replace all this with new positive experiences, it's very important that we physically write them down. Why do we have to do this if we want to make a quick turnaround? If you follow through on your page 2, Empowering Beliefs, and you accomplish something successfully, you will soon forget the excitement and the feelings of accomplishment, these new positive emotions. Why might you soon forget them? Well, you tell me. In the earlier stages of trying to change a feeling of inadequacy, which page is going to be the most controlling? I hope you said page 4, and if you did, you're absolutely right. You've been on page 4 for years. You do a little positive thing like make a phone call, which would really, for you, if you have this particular challenge, would be a great accomplishment. And if you don't write it down, the positive feelings that you got from this new experience will be gone before you can blink an eye, because page 4 will take over. We have to do anything and everything in our power not to allow that to happen, and that is what page 3 will do for us. Let's place a check mark in the box beside make the phone call. This basically means that we've accomplished this goal. Now, underneath these boxes, we have the words, I made the phone call. This is where we're going to write down the positive experience. So if you made an unsuccessful attempt to accomplish this goal and nothing positive came from it, don't write it down. You don't want to remember that. The last thing you need to do is encourage or support anything from your page 4. So we've made the phone call and things went pretty well. We're going to write down positive experiences that are specifically associated with making that phone call. Caution here. There is a right way and a wrong way to do this. Let me share with you the right way. If I were to ask you to think of one of those negative experiences that you wrote down in the beginning of this program on page 1, and you shared with me some of the details, you could probably go ballistic on the details. You may remember things like exact dates, music, colors, voices, words, sounds, smells, and even more. The detail is usually impeccable. You've allowed these details to have made such a strong impression in your mind that they still affect you to this day. You can remember those negative experiences as if they just happened yesterday or minutes ago for that matter. It would be similar to asking someone if they remember what they were doing or where they were when they heard that President John F. Kennedy was killed, or Princess Diana, or Elvis Presley. The emotion created a great memory of detail. We need that same detail with the positive experience. Here's a good question for you to think about. How much detail should I write? The answer is, it should be enough detail that if you were to read this positive experience that you wrote down, all that information, that you would be able to remember it 10 days, 10 months, or 10 years from now. By reading it later on, you'd be able to actually experience and recall everything as if it happened to you yesterday. That's how much detail I want you to put down. You might write something like, it was a Monday, and you may even want to put the date, after work about 5 o'clock. I had just gotten a promotion the week before. You're just trying to use something to trigger the memory, so when you read this later on, it'll all come together. Bob left a message and said, could you please call me? I really need you to do something for me. You're the only person I can count on. And then you write down, I thought the message was something of a message that really tried to corner me. But I went ahead and called him 10 minutes after I heard the message. At 10 minutes, that was pretty good, isn't it? That's really not procrastination. In fact, there's an African proverb that says, if you're going to swallow a toad, don't look at it long. In other words, the longer you look at the toad, the harder it is to make yourself swallow it. You'll find every reason to put off calling this person. The moral of the story here, don't procrastinate. And here's some more feelings that we could put down. I did feel some of page 4, but before I called, I really trained the nervous system. I was strong and I felt that I could do it. When I dialed the phone and the phone started to ring, oh, the heart started to race and I started to breathe faster, but I stood up straight and I slowed my breathing down, chest out, chin up, and I needed a lot of really silly little grins at that point. But I politely told him that I appreciated him thinking of me and asking me, but I was unable to assist him at this time. He tried to make me feel guilty by saying, I've never told him no before, but I kindly apologized and told him again. After hanging up, I felt a bit guilty, but I made sure of my words and how I said them and my body language. I made all those things ignore that feeling of guilt. That was the first time I've ever been able to say no like this. I really feel that I'm taking control back. I'm taking control of my life. I must admit, the first time I was a bit unsure that I could do this, but I didn't let my feelings get the best of me because I know my negative feelings change last. And I now know that it's going to be even easier and easier to do this again. I really feel that I've accomplished something. You see, with this much detail written down, you should be able to read that weeks and months from now and remember not only the experience, but you want to be able to remember the feeling, the positive feelings of accomplishment. That's the goal here, to remember the positive feelings. Now, the next time you try another goal, after completing it, as long as it had a positive outcome, write down underneath the last experience, the new experience, and then the next one, and the next one, and the next one. After each goal or exercise, you might want to consider going back and rereading the empowering beliefs that you have on page 2. You should slowly, or maybe even quickly, be able to now feel the words on page 2, that they're not just words, but you can actually feel and start believing them. The opposite should hold true for page 4. Those negative feelings now might start looking sillier and sillier and dumber and dumber. Well, we have finally completed all 4 pages. What we're going to do now is a brief review, and you'll find throughout this program I'm going to do a lot of reviewing. My reason for doing that is when you finish this program, I want you to know how to change your behavior. When you have a feeling of inadequacy, I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt what to do, when to do it, how to do it, why to do it, everything about it. So let's start off again. We have to start off with our page 1. That was page 7 in your workbook. What's page 1 for? The reason that we have a page 1, page 1 tells us what our goal is. So whatever the goal is, we're going to write it down. Then we need to write down why, not should, why maybe, no, but why must I change this behavior? Recall that we have to have a good reason or many good reasons. We can't just put it down on paper and have it just be words on paper. We have to have a reason why we must change this behavior. If we go down on our page 1 or page 7 in your workbook, we're going to see that little illustration there. The reason that we have to have incredible purpose or why we must change this behavior, as we work up that line, we're going to get right under those negative feelings from our page 4. And if we don't have good enough reasons why we must change this behavior, what's going to happen? Page 4 is going to win. We're going to do a 180 instead of going through the negative feelings and straight to the top. We're going to go back to the bottom. That's why page 1 is so vitally important to us. Then we jumped over to page 4 or page 10 in your workbook. So let's do that. Limited beliefs. What did we do on page 4? We identified the limited belief. And the limited belief in the particular scenario that we went through was, I can't say no to others. Not only did we want to have the limited belief identified, we wanted other beliefs or feelings identified with that. And that's where we came up with, if I were to say no to somebody, what would happen? I would feel guilty. I'm going to feel that maybe I'm going to be mean or they're not going to like me. So we put that information down. Then below that, we went ahead and identified all the limited behaviors, any way that we can identify how we actually program these behaviors, the limited behaviors to program the limited beliefs that we had of I can't say no to others. We understood that basically for years we've been living this page 4, these limited beliefs, and we unfortunately do this unconsciously. So now we have to be consciously aware of what's going on, and we do that by going to page 2, which would be page 8 in your workbook. So essentially what we did here, we changed, remember, negative to what? Negative to positive. And we understood, too, that positive thinking is what basically page 2 is, and that is like spray paint on rust. It doesn't last long, but it's a start, isn't it? So we started off with several positive sentences or statements. One was, I can say no to others. We also spoke in detail that you just can't say, I can't say no to others. Convert it to saying, I can say no to others, and now we'll be able to do it. The next thing that we wrote down was, I will not feel guilty. Then there was, they are not going to be mad or like me, and if they are, so what? I'm not being mean if I say no. We put down no problem and whatever it is that you may have added. We also use the illustration of that cookie. Recall that? That cookie was like what? Positive thinking. We needed more than that. We had to start from scratch with new ingredients. So one of the ways that we did that, we also look for new ways to reward this thought of, I can say no to others. We're looking for behaviors, ways that we can reward and make things more positive and reinforce it. Then we emphasize the importance of understanding when my feelings are not in harmony with my goals, ignore my feelings. That's a powerful one. Always remember when you try to change any type of behavior, page four is that page that's going to want to attack you, and that's those negative feelings. And when your feelings, page four, are not in harmony with your goals, page what? Page one, you have to ignore those feelings. We're going to ignore them with the right words, how we say those words, and the body language. And then the last thing on page two we want to remember is that feelings change last. Never forget that. Feelings change last. Remember that left side, right side belief. If you don't put in your head and make yourself consciously aware that feelings change last, what's going to happen is you're going to try to change this behavior. You're going to work diligently to moving forward. And then page four is going to slowly creep up on you. And when it does creep up on you, you're going to say, wait a minute, I forgot that feelings change last. Here's some of these negative feelings. Ah, this can't work. Look at the feelings. It feels terrible. Go back to page four because that's comfort zone. Yes, that's the course of least resistance. And we don't really want that course, do we? We want to stay on page two and make sure nothing moves us from page two. Our final page was page three, new positive feelings and experiences. This is where you make a list of goals that you would like to accomplish with your new behavior. Once you apply page one and two and you go into the real world and accomplish these goals, you're going to experience new, if you did it right, new positive feelings and experiences. Make sure we write that all in detail. And once you've done that successfully, you will realize that, yes, you can have your cake and eat it too.